Amen. Amen. All right. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. This is what Wednesday School of the Bible, right? So I'm going to try to stay in that mode, okay? Because I can jump off real quick. John chapter 3, verse 16. And we don't begin any lesson under the direction of the Holy Spirit by saying this. Amen? Is everyone there? I'm reading from the King James. Read from your version. Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, what does that say? God did what? So loved, right? He didn't just love, he so loved. But what did he do? He gave, right? But what did he give? His only begotten Son. So think of it this way. God loved this world so much that he gave his best. And what was his best? His only begotten Son. And who's that? Jesus, right? But now he gave his only begotten Son. Now what has to happen? Whosoever has to do what? Believe that he's what? The Son of God. And they'll have what? Everlasting life. Now, that's all we need to know. And we can just share that with anybody, anywhere, anytime. That's the gospel. Doesn't that sound simple? The gospel in a nutshell. Amen. So God so loved that he gave. Amen. Now, tonight's lesson that I'm going to share, the last time I was with you on the Wednesday night, I was talking about the calling, right? Remember I talked about the calling, the purpose of your calling? I was prepared to do the second lesson in that, but the Holy Ghost just quickened to me. He said, no. They need to hear this tonight, okay? So turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. It's going to still be in the same topic of serving, but it's not the second message in my series. This is one that he had me insert for you tonight. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, and let's begin. We're going to pick up at verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Are you there? Okay, let's read that together. Let's read verses 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him what? The form of what? A servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, let me read that in the Common English Bible version. It says it this way. It says, adopt the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider being equal with God something to exploit. You hear that? But he emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave and by becoming like human beings when he found himself in the form of a human. Now, let me read that same verse in the message. It says it this way. He says, think of yourselves the way that Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Okay, so here we see Paul is exhorting the church in Philippi. He's exhorting us. Let this mind, right? Another word for mind is what? Attitude. Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Jesus. Now, what did Jesus put on? According to Philippians, what did he put on? What did he put on? This is an open book test. What? He put on what? The form of what? Of a servant, okay? Now, here's the message for tonight. God wants me to share with you tonight this. He says, The message we're going to talk about tonight is the ones whom God uses. Okay? The ones whom God uses. In other words, Jesus took on what? A form of a servant. Now, a definition for servant is this, a simple definition. A person employed to perform domestic duties. Another definition is this: a person in service to others, okay? So in other words, God uses us, right? He wants us, right? Now think about this. Let me ask you this question. How many of you tonight desire to be used by God? Let me see your hands. Okay, I don't see. Oh, keep them up again. I don't see too many. Okay, yeah, that's good. Okay, put them down. Nah, how many of you desire that? Because you have to desire it, okay? You have to desire to be used by God, okay? Now, let me ask you this question. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to present a reality to you. Whether you like it or not, right? Whether you realize it or not, right now, each and every one of us are being used. Did you ever think about that? You're being used right now. You're either being used by another person, right? Right, ladies? Right? Gentlemen? Right? You've been used, right? Remember that song, Bill Withers song, right? You keep on using me, right? Till you use me up, right? He was talking about a girl he was trying to run after, right? And she was using him up, right? So he kept on going to it, so he got what he got. Well, we're all being used, okay? You're being used on that job. How many of you go to work? Do they use you? Do they use you a lot? So you're being used, right? How many of you are parents? You're being used, right? You've been used, right? How many of you are grandparents? You're definitely being used. We're all being used. I mean, on this Saturday, my grandkids are going to come over. One's going to run in the door. Where's Papa? Where's Papa? That's Christian. Where's Papa? And then the other one's going to come in nice and quiet. Papa. She's going to take me by the hand, bring me to the refrigerator, and she wants ice pops. I'm being used. Okay, so each and every one of us here are going to be used, okay? And even in church, you get used. Everybody got quiet on that one. No, but it's true. You get used. You will get used, okay? So everybody's getting used, okay? So nobody here is not being used. Everyone's being used. But here's the difference. The difference is this. Let God use you. See, when God uses us, see, when the world uses you, and when they're through with you, what do? You history, right? When that hot girl that you were running after, brothers, when she used you, what happened? She ain't returning your calls anymore. Young ladies, when he used you, he left you with something, right? I'm not going to go any further than that because I want to go home tonight. But the truth of the matter is, when God uses us, okay, I want you to understand something. The ones whom God uses, I'm going to give you an example. Now, you sitting there and you're saying, well, I know what's going through your mind is this. God won't use me. God can't use me. What is God going to use me for? Okay, I know some of you thought that thought. And some of you are saying, and I'm going to show you some examples in the Bible. We're going to look right in the Bible. And we're going to see people just like you. I'm going to show you people just like you who God used. Amen? Are you ready? You ready to go on this adventure? Okay, let's look at the first person God used. Amen? Turn over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. We're talking about those whom God uses, right? Exodus chapter 3. Now, who's the person we see in Exodus chapter 3? Moses, right? Now, look at this. Ready? Are you're at Exodus, right? Chapter 3. Now, for time's sake and for the content's sake, we're only going to look at some scriptures, okay? We're not going to go through the whole study of Moses. So really, you need to go through the whole study to find out the life and ministry of Moses. But we're just extracting some things. Are you at verse 11? Now, up into verse 11, what happened was the children of Israel were in bondage, Egyptian bondage, and their cries went out, right? And Moses saw the burning bush, right? So now let's pick it up here, right, at verse 11. And Moses, now God is telling Moses, he says, I've seen and heard of the oppression of my children, right? And now I'm going to use you to set them free, right? Now listen, look what Brother Moses had to say, verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, follow what Moses was saying. Moses, up until that point, when he saw that burning bush, it was looking good. Moses was agreeing with God. Yeah, I agree with you. Man, there's a lot of oppression going down. Yeah, the Egyptians, really, they got our people. We got to set our people free, you know. But then when God pointed the finger at him and says, I'm going to use you, what was his first response? Who am I? So here's what I'm trying to tell you. When God is ready to use you, you're going to ask the same question. Who am I? Right? Who am I? But now, what did he do? He compared himself to somebody. Who did he compare himself to? Pharaoh. He knew something about Pharaoh. He grew up in Pharaoh's household. So he's saying it like this. It's like, I'll give you an example. Let me just find somebody here. Let me find somebody. Okay, Betty. Now, let's pretend I'm God. You're Betty. Okay. Now, Betty, I heard of all the problems that's going on in the world, right? And all the oppression that's going on, right? Now, I'm going to send you to the UN. What? What is it? What?
Who am I?
There you go. See? Moses and Betty, right? But Moses said the same thing. Who am I to go to Pharaoh, right? But now look at this. So what happened here, God wanted to use him, but what was happening? What was getting in the way? His insecurity. He was insecure. He said, listen, who am I to Pharaoh, right? But now listen, but Moses didn't stop there. And listen to what God said. God said, and he said, certainly I will be with you. And this shall be a token unto you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, they shall serve me. They shall serve God on this mountain, right? So now God is telling Moses, I got your back, right? But listen, do you think that was enough for Moses? And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say unto me, what is his name? And what shall I do unto them? In other words, Moses is now saying, okay, I got you there. I know you got my back. But now I'm going to go to these people and I'm going to tell them who sent me. No? So what was Moses looking for? Like a lot of us in the church is looking for. He's looking for validation. See, it's not enough to run in there and say, you know, I'm the deliverer. I'm the sent one. God sent me. No, Moses wasn't dumb, right? Because he was with these people. Right, he was with them. Matter of fact, he killed an Egyptian, right, for the sake of them, right? So he said, listen, I need some validation. You're going to have to validate me. You got to validate my parking, right? You have to validate my service, right? But now let's see what happens. Look what happens. The ones whom God uses, right? And listen what God said to him, right? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children, I am have sent thee. Okay? Now, Moses got validation now, right? So he got rid of the insecurity, right? Now he knows God's going with him against Pharaoh. He's got some validation now, right? He says, I am sent me, right? But did he stop there? No, keep on looking. Let's follow Brother Moses, right? Move over to chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered unto him and said, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto me. So now, what's Moses looking for now? What? What? Now, he got the validation. He said, listen, they need what? These people are going to need what? Somebody said it, a sign, right? They're going to need proof, right? Now, listen what God said, right? And the Lord said unto him, what did he say? What is that in your hand? And he said, what? Now, here's what I want to share with you tonight. When God's going to use you, when God calls you, he calls you who you are and with what you have. He's not looking at you to see what you can get and what you can get from. Whatever you have, he's going to use. That's what he was telling Moses. Now, why was Moses with the rod? Okay, yeah, but who was he working for? His father-in-law. He was doing his father-in-law's business. He walked up to the mountain. He walked off the job. He was down there, right, with taking care of Jethro's sheep, flock. And he walked off the job. He walked off briefly, went up the mountain, and he got the staff, right? So God told him to put the staff down, right? So he said he's going to use the staff, right? So in other words, now Moses needed what? Proof, right? Did he get the proof? Okay, now, let's keep on going, right? Now, do you think Brother Moses is ready to go right now? Is he fully equipped? Is he anointed and appointed by God? Ready to shout out and go run to Egypt? Nah, he doesn't, right? Look at verse 10. It's kind of like us. Now listen, this is like us. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of what God wants to do. Okay? We're no different than Moses, so let's not be too heavy on Brother Moses, right? Look at verse 10. Are you there? Let's read it. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am what? And herefore, nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am what? And slow tongue. So in other words, now Moses, I mean, you got to give him credit, right? He's trying to disqualify himself over everything. And he's saying, listen, I don't speak well. They may not understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to figure out, maybe, I don't know how he was talking, but he had a problem, right? He was stuttering, right? Now, listen, let me ask you this. Did God agree with him and said, you know, Moses, you're kind of right there. Maybe I can send you to some speech therapy, right? Here's my card. Go see this speech therapist in Syria. No. What did he say? And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? So here's what I want to share with you tonight. God knows he called you. Because I'm still on the calling, but I'm talking about the ones whom God uses. He knows what you got. He knows what you don't have. But don't you know that he's the one that made you? The one that made you and called you will keep you. Now, did God fulfill his calling through Moses? Did Moses accomplish everything that God called him to? So would you say God successfully used him? Okay, want to see another person? Oh, yeah, everybody's excited now. Turn to Judges chapter 6. The ones whom God uses, okay? Turn to Judges chapter 6. Now, this guy in Judges, all three of these are Old Testament, but we can pick out new, but for the time's sake, I just picked the Old Testament. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Now, who's the person in this one? Judges chapter 6. Who's there? Who? Gideon. Now, I like Gideon. See, I can identify with Gideon. See, Gideon was doing what? He was hiding, right? But who was he hiding from? The Midianites. He wasn't not only hiding, because what would happen is, as they would thresh their wheat and prepare their wheat, the Midianites would sit on the hill, watch them. Then when it was all done, come down and take the stuff, right? Now, how many of you grew up in those neighborhoods, right, where you knew you were going to get jumped, right? How many of you ever got jumped in your life? Okay, yeah, okay. You know what I mean? Some of you don't know. What is he talking about being jumped? I don't understand. That means when someone bigger than you is going to take your money, right? Or take your candy or whatever. As kids, take your candy, right? Okay, now, follow this. Gideon was hiding out because he didn't want the Midianites to take what he had. But what happened? Look at verse 11. Turn to verse 11. The ones whom God uses. Look at verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Look at verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him what? The Lord is what? Is with thee. What else did he say? Now, what did the angel say? The Lord is with thee. What? Thou mighty man of valor. Now, did Gideon look like a mighty man of valor? Was he acting like a mighty man of valor? But what happened? God called him what? Or the angel spoke to, the angel was the messenger of God, so he was giving God's message. He called him what? A mighty man of valor, right? Now, let's look what the mighty man of valor had to say, okay? I mean, we're having a good time on this one, right? And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why all this befallen us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, Gideon had a valid point. He didn't grow up in Egypt. He didn't grow up when he saw them being delivered by God using Moses and the miracles to deliver them. He didn't walk through the Red Sea. He was on the other side. Yeah, it's kind of like some of us in church, you know? Some of us in church, we sat around so long that when the move of God came, some of you weren't even here when the move of God came. So us telling you what God did, you're listening to it like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I heard that, man. I heard what you're talking about, how you got this place. Yeah, I hear all those, I'm tired of hearing all those stories. Man, that's old stuff. We need some new stuff. So Gideon was saying the same thing. He said, listen, God, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I ain't seeing no miracles. I'm not seeing anything. I'm not seeing Jack. That's what he's telling God, right? But now listen, did God get upset? No, he didn't get upset. See, so God's not going to get upset with you either, right? Now look at what happens here, right? And then he goes on a little bit further. I like what Gideon did. Look at what Gideon did. The first thing he did was he talked about not seeing the miracles, right? But then the next thing he did was he talked about himself and his family. He said, man, we're the least. We're the least. He said, so we don't see miracles. We're the least. What are you talking about, mighty man of valor, right? So now we know from Gideon's example, Gideon needed what? He needed to see something, right? So what did he ask God for? The fleece, right? Remember the fleece? He says, if you're God and if you say who you are, here's this fleece. I got it down here. I want dew all around it and inside this dry, right? Did God do it? But then what else he said? He said, okay, Lord, if it's you, I want you to take this fleece. I want it to be dry around it and dew on the fleece. So Gideon did what? He put out a fleece, right? Now, we know why he put out a fleece, right? He put out a fleece because he didn't know, he couldn't sense the presence of God. He didn't know if it was God or if it was something else. See, and so what we're saying is in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came upon people. He came upon the prophet, priest, and king, right? So nothing came on Gideon at this time. So that's why he asked for a fleece. Now, us in the New Testament, are we supposed to ask for fleece? Are we going to put out a fleece? Now, you know how some of us do. We, you know, talking about, well, I ain't putting out no fleece. But here's what we do. I'll go and do this if the check is in the mail. I'll go and do this if you give me a ride. Well, Lord, you know, if I'm going to do this, Lord, then what you have to do is do this and I'll know it was you. What does the Bible tell us in the New Testament? That we are, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God, they are what? So sons of God can expect to be led by what? By who? The Spirit of God, not by a fleece. I'll marry him if he gets a job. No, I'm serious. That happened. I'm not joking. Or I'll marry her if when I come back, she's not pregnant. No, come on. That's putting out a fleece. So Gideon put out a fleece, right? But he put out a fleece because he didn't know, right? But now something interesting happened in Gideon's interaction with God. See, Gideon then had a situation where God was now going to tell him, I'm going to use you to deliver the Israel from the Midianites, right? Now look at this. Let's follow this. Go to chapter 7 of Judges. Chapter 7 of Judges. Matter of fact, Gideon began to get so how can I put this? He was getting hyped. He's getting so hyped. He was knocking over the statues, and they call him Jerubbaal, because he was the one knocking over stuff, but he was still knocking it over at night. Not during the daytime, right? So God was working on him, right? He's a vandal, okay? Now, here's what happened. Now, God is telling him that he's going to give him the victory, right? Look at verse 2 of chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with you are too many to give to the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand have saved me. So you know what God was saying? Gideon, you got too many in your crowd. And all you are going to start to think that when you beat these guys, because I told you I'm giving them to you, you're going to think you did it. So what did God tell him to do? He told him, go to all this group. Now, let's pretend I'm Gideon. You're all my men, right? And you're following me. They're gung-ho, right? Ready to fight, right? And I say, okay, you guys, Those of you who are punks and don't want to fight, go home. About half of them went, right? So Gideon's going, oh, my goodness. Whoa, half of them went. Half my group was punks, right? They went home. So now he says, okay, I'm going with the other half. He's getting ready to go. And God said, no. You still got too many. You got too many, right? So what did Gideon do next? He said, okay, they were at the river drinking, right? And then God told him, look at the men. The ones that were lapping like dogs, give them the exit, right? The guys that kneeled down and cupped the water, he said, those are your guys. Now, here's what I'm saying. The ones who God uses, I'm still on that topic. There was a whole bunch of people at that water, right? Some was acting like dogs, right? But the ones that were drinking the water knelt on their knee like this, and they cupped the cup and drank it. What happened was this. They were battle ready. See, the other ones, when they were drinking like a dog, they're looking down in the water. They weren't ready. See, here's what happens too. God wants people who are prepared, ready to engage the enemy at any time. So the men that were drinking with the cup of water, how many were there? Come on, Bible guys, come on. How many were there? 300. I've seen people, you should know this like this. Come on. I mean, you haven't been in my class? Where are my A students? Okay, there's 300 of them, okay? There's 300 of them. So now Gideon is getting ready to go to battle, but something interesting was about to happen. They were getting ready to go into battle, but now look at this. Look at what happened. Look at verse 13 through 15 in chapter 7. And Gideon was come, and behold, there was a man that told a dream. In other words, God allowed Gideon to hear what was going on in the enemy's camp, right? Now listen to this. And behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. Now, Gideon is hearing this, right? And he said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it, that it fell and overturned that tent laid along. And the fellow answered, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. So we can say this, Gideon heard overheard in the enemy's camp that they had a dream and they were scared because they said, now it's the sword of the Lord of Gideon, right? But now look at verse 15. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he did what? He worshiped and returned to the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Now, let me tell you what just happened. Remember God sent the angel, called a mighty man of valor, and he was wavering this, that, and the other? It wasn't until he heard what was going on. Faith, that's when faith came for him. Up until that point, he heard the angel say, mighty man of valor. But it wasn't until he was in the camp and he heard God has delivered them into his hand, then the anointing came on him. The anointing came on him to do the job. I'm here to tell you tonight that each and every one of you that God uses, he will anoint you to do the task. But don't wait like Gideon. Don't wait until you hear somebody come in and speak something over you. It should be in you. The witness of the Spirit is in us. Okay? Gideon had to hear that. But when he heard that, what happened? He went into battle, right? And we know the rest of the story, right? So God used him, right? Now, let's go to the third person. Turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the ones whom God uses. Amen? Are you getting anything? Okay. Are you seeing anything? All right, praise the Lord. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Look at verse 1, Jeremiah. Now, a lot of us, we quote Jeremiah a lot, don't we? Everybody likes to quote Jeremiah. I mean, and the book of Jeremiah is an interesting book in itself, right? It's got Bible prophecy and everything. Amen. But now look at verse chapter 1. Look at verse 4. And look at what he says. He says, then the word of the Lord came unto me. See, whenever you see it say the word of the Lord, what it really means was the anointing came on him. The anointing came on Jeremiah saying, Read it with me. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I did what? Ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, did you see something interesting there? Let me keep on going. Verse 6. Then said I, once again, remember, God is speaking. Now, listen what Jeremiah says. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm what? Go back to verse 5. What did God say? He did what? He formed him in the belly, and then he did what? Knew him, right? But then what else did he do? He knew him before he came forth out of the womb. He sanctified him and ordained him to be what? Now think about this. Up until that time, all the prophets, except for Jeremiah, were prophets only to Israel. Jeremiah, God is saying, is a prophet to who? The nations. And he did, didn't he not? He prophesied to the nations. His prophecies are still today prophesying to the nations. But notice Jeremiah was a young boy. So what did he look at? His age. He said, who am I? I'm a boy, right? But now look at what happened here. Let's keep on going. Listen to what God says. And the Lord said, say not, I am a child, but thou shalt go to all that I shall do what? Send thee, okay? And whatsoever I command thee, what's going to happen? So in other words, here's Jeremiah as a young boy, probably the age of Donovan. Think about that. How old are you, Donovan? Think about that. An 11-year-old boy. Let's say Jeremiah was an 11-year-old boy. And he told that 11-year-old boy, I have called you to be a prophet to all the nations. Not, forget about Israel, all the nations. And immediately, wow, I'm just a kid. But notice what God said. God told him what? Don't say you're a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. So in other words, all Jeremiah had to do was go where God sent him. All we have to do in serving God is go where he has sent us, right? And he said he'll take care of them, right? But let's keep on going, right? Be not afraid of their faces. See, that's important. Don't be afraid of their faces. When God sends you somewhere, the ones whom God uses, he's going to send you to some places where they ain't going to like you. They're not going to be welcome to see you. They're not going to be happy. Oh, praise the Lord. You're going to probably hear some other stuff, right? But don't be afraid of their faces, right? What else did he say? Let's see what else he had to say. Don't be afraid of their faces, right? Why not? For I am with you, and I will deliver you, said the Lord. Now look at verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and do what? Touch his mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have did what? Words in your mouth. Do you know what just happened there? You know what happened? The God of all the universe, our Father God, Jehovah, he took himself, the essence of who he is, the essence of his expression, he took it and put it in the little boy's mouth. And he said, you're going to speak my words. Now think about it this way. Now listen, we're in the New Testament, right? John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus says what? My words are what? Spirit and life. Now, what do you think Jesus did with his words? He gave his words to who? The church. So we have words that are speaking spirit and life. Don't be afraid of their faces where he sends you. Don't be concerned about that. So these are the ones who God uses, right? So I want you to see these three. Now, did Jeremiah finish his course? Would you say God used him? Okay, good. Very good. Now let's tie this all in, because we're going to wrap this up here. The ones who God uses. Now, let me ask you this question. What do all three of those characters have in the three people we looked at tonight? What do all three of them have in common? Moses, Gideon, and Jeremiah. What one thing you think all three of them had in common? This is an exam. What? They think they were not ready to do their job. That's good. Humility, what's another one? Okay, keep on. They keep doubting what? Fear. What's one thing that, okay, now let me phrase it this way. Were all three of them successful? Okay, they were all three successful. Okay, they had fears, they had insecurities. So on this side of their success, right, with God, what was one thing all three of them had in common? Why were they successful? They obeyed. Okay, that's good. That's good. What else? God was with them. Okay, that's true. Okay, let me give you the answer. These are all right. Okay, someone said something back there. What? What does Oliver say? They were anointed by God. Oh, now, all of these are good and all of these are correct. But now I'm going to show you what all of them had in common. Those who were used by God availed themselves to God. They were available. Wasn't Moses available? After that, he got out of his father-in-law's business, right? Wasn't Gideon available? He became the judge, right? Wasn't Jeremiah available? So the ones whom God uses are those who avail themselves to him. Now, some of you may be sitting in your seat and saying, well, I wonder why God's not using me. Well, let me ask you this question. How much are you availing yourself to be used in his service? See, here's what happens. Everybody wants the anointing, right? Everybody wants to be anointed, right? Everybody wants to flow, right? And the gifts and all this other stuff. But the truth of the matter is this. God anoints those who are serving him. Let me ask you this. Are you going to put gas in a parked car? Are you going to put $100 rims on a parked car? Are you going to put a Hemi engine in a parked car? So what are you going to do? You're going to take that thing and put it on the road, right? Don't you think God is smarter than we are? Now, here's what I'm saying. He wants to use each and every one of us. But we have to do what? Avail ourselves to him. Amen? Now, let me share this with you. There are some benefits associated with God using you. Now, when the world uses you, they throw you on the heap, right? And you're a has-been, right? Ask all those Hollywood stars, right? They all been has-beens, right? And they all fear becoming has-beens. But the truth of the matter is this. When God uses you, there's benefits associated with it. Now, let's turn to the New Testament. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And just for time's sake, we're looking at the account with Jesus ministering. He's preaching to the people, the multitudes, and he had to borrow somebody's boat, right? So whose boat he borrowed? Peter's, right? Okay, let's see what happened. Okay, let's turn there. Chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed or asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Now, here's something interesting. There were other ships there, right? Did Jesus go into those other ships? Why? The fishermen were AWOL. They weren't there. So God uses those who avail themselves and are there. I think the light should go on here. I think somebody should start to see something. You know, if you're AWOL, if you're not, you know, you're not here. If you're not making yourself available. And when the Lord comes, he's not going to come to you. He's going to come to the brother or sister that's doing something, okay? So don't get angry at brother and sister and them doing something. So he goes to brother Peter, right? And what does he say? He says he entered in the ship and asked him to go out a little bit. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship, right? So now here's Peter. Peter's sitting in the boat. When's he going to stop preaching, man? You know, it's getting late, man. You know, I just turned in the nets. I'm ready to go home. Peter's thinking about what to have for dinner. So meanwhile, Jesus finishes, right? The people go, right? But now, when he left speaking, he said to Simon Peter, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering, saying to Master, we've toiled all day and have taken nothing. In other words, I know it all. I'm a fisherman. You're just a guy that came from Galilee. You know, you don't know nothing. You're a carpenter. Carpenters don't know what fishermen do. But guess what, Pastor? Just because you said it, I'm going to do it anyway, right? Now, some of us do, right? Pastor, I'm really not following you. I really don't hear what you're saying. But because you said it, I'm going to do it, right? Boom, right? So what happened? He drops down the net. Now, what happened? What was the result? He caught what? He caught a multitude, right? He caught a net breaking, right? It broke the net, and he beckoned his partners, the guys that were AWOL, right? He said, hey, you guys, AWOL, come on over here, right? So even is there even hope for guys who are AWOL? I just saw it right now. There's even hope for people who like sleeping at the switch. But if you can wave them over, come on over. So then they come over with their boats, so all the boats are full, right? So what happened? Peter cast himself down and said, go for me, I'm a sinful man, right? And Jesus said, from this moment forward, you're going to catch men, right? Fishers of men. Here's the point I'm getting at. Peter availed himself and what he had. And when he availed himself and what he had, what did God do? Multiplied what he was going after. Because all that day, he caught jack. He caught nothing, right? No fish in the net. No fish in the net is no money. No income. No chabo, right? But what happened? When he lent his business, when he availed himself to the master's use, what happened? He had a boatload. He had the mother load came in, right? And from that point, he quit that business and he followed Jesus, right? Let's look at another person, right? Turn over to John, John chapter 6. We're getting ready to wind this up. Are you getting anything? Okay, the ones whom God uses, okay? John chapter 6. Here's another example, right? I like this one. This is a nice one. For time's sake, I'm going to net it in here. Jesus is at the Sea of Galilee. All the multitudes are there. It's late. You know how it is sometimes? It's late. And everybody's there. Now, let's see what Jesus did, right? Jesus had compassion on them, right? Now, look, Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come. And he said unto Philip, one of his apostles, right? He says, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, I like this. I like Jesus. You know what he did? He knew his crew, right? Philip was the guy that's always trying. He's the bean counter. You know, it's going to cost us 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, after all, Jesus, what are you doing? You got more people coming in here. What are you trying to do? We're over the budget. We're over the budget. But notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, what shall we do, Philip, right? But I'll keep on going. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes God will put us in a position, and it sounds like he's asking, okay, what do you want to do about this? The bills are due. Everything's coming in all at one time. What are you going to do about this? Notice. And he asked that to Philip, right? So let's see what Philip did, right? Philip said this, right? He said, and he said unto him, look at verse 6. And he said this to prove him, for he knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, here's the nice thing. I like these other two disciples, right? These other two guys are the scroungers. These guys went scrounging around. They heard Jesus say, we got to feed this multitude. So these guys went out looking, right? They went out hunting. So they found the little boy, right? Donovan, come here for a minute. I'm going to use Donovan. Come on, Donovan. Come on, Donovan. So I'm going to be like the guys that got Donovan, okay? Donovan, this one is the fish and that's the loaves, okay? Hold them in your hand. I'm going to bring him to Jesus. Okay, now I'm bringing him over. I say, Jesus, I heard what he said, but look at what this boy has. This boy has what? Turn to them so they can see it. He has 5 loaves and 2 fishes, right? So in other words, listen, Jesus, we did what we could. We panned the crowd. That's all that came out. This boy had his lunch, right? So now listen to what happened. Now Jesus said this, right? When Jesus lifted up, then Jesus went up, am I in the right place? Hold on. Now, okay, here it is. Verse 10, okay. Then Jesus said, make the men sit down, that there was much grass in the place. Then Jesus took the loaves. Okay, I'll take them from you, right, Donovan? Okay, thank you. You can stay right there. Jesus took the loaves, and what did he do? He did what? He gave thanks to it, right? Then what else did he do after that? He gave it to his disciples, right? And he gave them a set of instructions. And what was the instructions? Break them off a piece, right? Break everybody off a piece and pass it around. Now, what happened was this. What happened as a result of that? What was the result? Everybody was filled, right? But what happened to the baskets? What happened to the baskets? What? What happened? They gathered up the fragments, right? Did they have a little bit in the bucket? What happened? A lot. So in other words, that 5 loaves and 2 fishes took care of over 5,000, more than 5,000 people. It said 5,000 men. But how many of you know men don't travel by themselves? They travel with wives and children, right? So it's probably more there. So they picked up the fragments, put them in the basket. Now listen to, look at what it says here in Mines. I'm looking at Mines, right? Now let's go. He picked it up, right? Gather up the fragments, right? That none would be lost, right? Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So I want you to think about this. Here's Donovan. He came to Jesus, right? With 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, take these. He's going to have multitudes more than that. But now here's what we're talking about. Here's where the blessing comes in. He's blessed because he made what he had available for the master's use. The master said, gather it all, waste none. When they brought that stuff back, who do you think got it? Donovan got it. But not only Donovan didn't get it, go to your mother. But Wilsey came, he came home, mama, look what I got. I got food for the month. So the point I'm making is this. The ones whom God uses, thank you, Donovan. You're seeing the point here, right? The ones whom God uses, you don't have to have much, but whatever you have, let him use it. He knows of your abilities. Thank you, Donovan. He knows of your abilities. He knows of your shortcomings, but he's going to use you anyway. But what you have to do is what? Avail yourself to be used by the master. Now, would you agree? Being used by God is very beneficial. And here's it. I'll close with this. When God uses us, when he uses you, it's never for you. It's always for the benefit of others. Because that's what Jesus, didn't Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice? He went to the cross in obedience to the Father, but he went going and thanking gain. Amen? So with every head bow, Father God, we thank you for this message tonight. Thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us desire to be used by you, because we know that those whom you use for your purpose and for your glory and for your honor. Father, tonight, if there's anyone here tonight, and I'm panning the crowd and I look at this crowd, if there's anyone here tonight that has not made Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives, then Father, I pray right now that they would accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And if you're here tonight, I'm looking and I think I see everybody and everybody looks familiar to me, but I'm not going to look on what I see. I'm listening to what the Spirit of God is saying tonight. If you're here tonight and you never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that is the best decision you can ever make in your life. If you're here tonight and would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please raise your hand. I'll be honored to share with you and welcome you into the family of God. Okay, you're here tonight. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You're here tonight and you have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. However, you heard this message tonight and you sense in your heart, you have a tug in your heart that you desire. And you, at this moment, you're saying this, Lord, I want to avail myself to whatever it is you want me to do. If that's you tonight, and if you want the Lord to use you, if you want to avail yourself, see, here's what happened. Each and every person that God called, he called out. So if you want to be used by God, if you want to avail yourself to his service, come out here on the floor. I've been given instructions to pray and encourage you that God is the one who will strengthen you. God is the one who will anoint you. He is the one that helps us. But you desire to be used by him. You desire to be used by him. Come down here on the floor. Oh, to be used by him. There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The servants of the Lord, yes. The servants of the Lord in the house of the Lord. You desire to be used by him. You desire to be used by him. Now, once again, like I said in the message, and you heard it in the message tonight, do not think about yourself. Do not think about your faults and failures. God uses you regardless. And here's the part I left out of the message. None of us, everyone thinks you got to qualify. In the world has qualifications, right? But in God, there's no qualification. Matter of fact, the ones that he called were disqualified by the world, okay? I left that scripture out. That's in 1 Corinthians. It talks about those God has chose the foolish things to confound the wise. God chose the base things to abound the smart, you know, all those things. So God has done those things. So if you're here tonight, and you desire to be used by God, come down here right now. So in other words, everyone in the seats right now, I'm going to minister to them in a minute. So everyone in the seats right now, you're used by God and you're being used by God and you understand that. You got that all together. No problems with that. Is that what it is? I'm checking the crowd back there. So everyone, okay. But if you're not sure, come on down here. Because just like Gideon, remember Gideon? Gideon was hiding out. Moses said, I don't speak well. Jeremiah said, I'm nothing but a little boy. But God is God, and he's going to use us. He wants to use each and every one of us in this church in a mighty, miraculous way. But here's the key. Each and every one of us has to be in place. Each and every one of us has to be ready for when the master wants to use us. Amen?